Screenshot 2020-09-13 at 21.50.33-Display 2 Pnth key. Q-Brucetish-David-Clarka-NPI-193223650.png The haters are not going to be allowed to win. No fucktupumin net way block them out of power every way but loose one. PNG Bruce David Cook. P.O. Box 2913, Lake Arrowhead, CA, 92352 age. 68. Birth date September 15, 1952 Jobs. Company, industry, job title dates. Alta Loma Psychological Associates. Domestic Violence Group Facilitator. January 1, 2011-May 21, 2020. County of San Bernardino. Clinical Therapist. January 1, 2011-May 21, 2020. Individual and Family Services. Social Worker. January 1, 2008. County of San Bernardino Counselors-Licensed Professional. Manager. September 21, 2016. Mr. Cook. Can you please answer this question, honestly? You and I exchanged a voice conversation because you were the one who was referred to me when I had my issue about your staff on Facebook blocking my account. We had a great conversation, with a little bit of a hic-up, on a couple of contentious relatives. That being the use of digital information society tools to enable sharing between us for I have a definite need to share in our information society in 2020. Upon our crazy way we are seeing today not worthy of pasts but something wicked this way comes. I asked for an email address, you said I could take what I needed to share to your office assumption by paper printout. That being quite quaint, a nice way of saying it. Then, I mentioned what Discuss is. Tool that is applied onto the NPINO.com site and you freaked out to have actually stated that was threatening you and that you would have to disconnect this otherwise well going on conversation. You would basically characterize that 56-minute conversation in that way. Do you refuse to answer because of some kind of claim to the Fifth Amendment? This is the reality of the world. So in 2020, it might be noteworthy that your email address is in your Truth Finder report. That is not a problem, is it? And if it is a problem why is it that you have waited all of this time to square yourself up with the informational date of our history why did you wait so long to not be prepared for the quickening? Long time ago, the presence of this kind of scope of our humanity was predicted, sir. Why are you mad at me at first instead of being mad as yourself? My question here is exactly why are you attempting to avoid having digital-enabled communications with a member of the community, such as I? I have nothing to keep me up at night in view of my background. Help me understand the level of impact this hate conspiracy has actually penetrated into the county's policies and communications with its employees and outside. Are you saying there are a bunch of patchwork policies that go to avoid these instead of enabling these communications? What exactly am I supposed to think, logically and deductively, when both of these are a bit out of sequence with a standard response from us all? What does that say of you, sir? I would make sure that whatever you are avoiding a secret or just wild mental working take the lead in your own life so that you can be free of the bondage you must have to some outside bullshit take that away from you drop it smash it if you must, please. Possible emails. Email address valid since bcook@dbh.sbcounty.gov September 21, 2016 View email details. Brew90@hotmail.com /a. View email details. Angelvet@hotmail.com /a. View email details. Note, this message hurls you into a different way fall on your sword right immediately, read the screenshot, whom and to what was shared and worried about what. You shouldn't be but then there is the issue right at the mouth of the garbage a person who cannot see the irrational use of what they have just done. Am I worried? Yeah, worried that people cannot use the tool of messenger without their ignorant bullshit blaring alarms what harm we are doing to our society in all of this. Facebook, you are too fucking big for your britches. Do you fucking know what that means? For a man, your balls are being squeezed and they are hanging out among other aspects of what is happening out here is not too cool for our common human condition. I am really, really sick and tired of dealing with this problem. Do you realize how many people in the business or government organizations improperly use the messenger tool? Do you really understand that there is something seriously wrong in the way Block is used as a weapon against another member? There are articles after articles on that subject. Blocking people isn't a great mental health solution. Sometimes you're only manipulating yourself. Shannon Ashley. March 26, 2019. https://medium.com/@shesrialifat/blocking-people-isn't-a-dash-greet-mental-health-solution-a5bco77618e1. I will never understand the knee-jerk reaction to block people we know on social media or various websites just because we get mad. I consider blocking as a last resort for people who will not listen to reason. Every time I write about somebody trolling on my work, or discuss an unsavory interaction with a fellow writer, a few people ask why I don't just block them and move on. Why not just block them and be done with it, they ask me. But I don't even understand the question. Blocking people is pretty much only something you do online. In real life, cutting off from somebody who disagrees with you isn't lauded as a positive mental health move. It's more often volatile and reactionary. We don't need to sweep bad behavior under the rug. Making a scene is supposedly so unsavory that most women are professionals at sweeping bad behavior under the rug. We expect bad behavior from others-especially from men. And too many men expect us to let it all go without mention. There's something so pious about pretending that shit didn't happen, but that's also letting abusive behavior slide. When I call out bad behavior and say I am not going to take it, I'm often amazed to see how many other women feel more confident to speak up and tell their stories too. It pays to talk about individuals who behave like predators in any given community. It makes a positive impact when you help more people avoid getting hoodwinked themselves. Some abusers come across as trustworthy and encouraging, but they are wolves in disguise. Blocking them doesn't fix any of that. They just keep doing their thing and other people keep falling for the illusion. Is unfriending on social media really a good thing? PNG conflict resolution matters. Back when the breakup with my daughter's dad was still painful, we were both terribly immature. We blocked each other on Facebook, Messenger, Google, SMS-, all of it. We unblocked each other too. Like, oh, I'm so angry, let me get this last word in there. It was stupid, and it never made either of us feel better. It never helped resolve our conflicts. Whether you do the blocking or somebody else blocks you, there can be no resolution at that point. Sometimes, I see chronic blockers complain about the way people respond to being blocked. Well, yeah. I'm wondering what they expected. In many cases, blocking someone who disagrees with you starts a fire when there was nothing there to begin with except for your own angry feelings. Blocking isn't just a mental health break. Use the option after lecturing someone and giving them no chance to respond, and it's a manipulative move. It's something narcissists often do online to control a narrative. Are you in or are you out? This is what narcissists and abusers want to know. And they will use blocking as a method to curate their very own community of sheep who only hear their voice. A social media-induced sickness. Blocking trolls might be good for our health, but employing blocks whenever people don't give you what you want is a disease. I'd say it's the natural extension of culling. It's complicated because social media has created this enormous call-out culture, where it's cool to diss on-whomever you decide are-the cool kids. That's what makes you one of the even cooler kids. Unlike them, you don't give a fuck who you come after, right? Look, sometimes, call-outs are necessary. Calling out injustice matters. Racism, homophobia, transphobia, sexism, ageism-these are just some of the issues that need to be called out. Angry rants about people who share too many cat videos on social media. Stories berating writers who dare use copious adverbs. Entire articles lamenting that nobody cares about or understands the truth like you. Dude, that's all just so damn petty. You can't write full-on rants about people misunderstanding free speech and censorship when you're out there blocking anybody who disagrees with you. I mean, clearly you can, and obviously it happens, but it's creating a toxic culture of grown-ass men who can't handle an honest discussion. This isn't the playground and we're not playing dodgeball. There's no need to choose teams. Why are we so angry, anyway? Blocking people online is a tool. And the way you use it to avoid looking like a tool yourself. Don't block somebody when you're angry. And don't write up some long explanation about why you're blocking them. Think really hard about blocking someone with whom you have any kind of friendship or working relationship. Don't block them and unblock them to leave comments, only to block them again. Before blocking anybody who isn't just a faceless troll, figure out what set you off in the first place. Why can't you resolve the conflict instead? Is there even a conflict? Sometimes, when we don't like what another person is saying, it's not their fault. It's us. Sometimes it's our own hang-ups or jealousy telling us that this person is a world-class jerk. They may have done nothing wrong, yet something they said got under our skin anyway. You know what's really good for your mental health? Figuring out your own shit first. Understanding why certain people rub you the wrong way, before going on a blocking spree. Of course, what do I know? I'm just a single mom writing online on one website. I've got my own issues. I'm far from famous and I haven't been discovered. Not that I'm waiting on any of that. I'm happy to work every day on my writing and willing to see where it takes me. I'm happy to be a nobody who inspires somebody every day. And I'm happy to talk about it all too. Lately, I've heard a lot of people quote Michelle Obama, "When they go low, we go high." It's true. We don't have to be kids in the schoolyard calling each other names and telling our friends to pick a side so we know who to shun. I don't need to shun anyone and I'm not afraid to have friends and colleagues who disagree with me. Blocking is overrated and I much prefer to write about these experiences anyways. That article was great and handpicks for Chest this presentation. I will have to give her credit for this media creation. Where are our counsels? Question: where is my consulate? I still can't find my strong counsels in all of these factors. The local community seems to just ignore these questions and implementations for a better tomorrow completely. I wish I knew how to address and ask Norma Lamson from the Kosan Computer Center. That was where I used to work and build to the computer lab first when I was 18. I'm now 55 and I'm just at the stage of complete overwhelming bewilderment. This is the question of the century. How in the hell did someone think it was okay to use block or unfriend, which there is no such concept in real life, as a fundamental feature process of almost every single application or user environment online that has sharing capability? To keep the scum away from us, right? That is why we have gated residential communities in our more privileged cities, right? What does that cause, especially in an online environment? I think we as humans completely understand what block was invented for sure shit probably was. The concept of the process of block as fundamental function needs to be nullified out of the standards of application user sharing operation. That is an obvious conclusion of this argument. I am in fact willing to seek this change more promptly. I am almost ready to claim this. Facebook is a public nuisance with a huge slew of evidence that support this. You might take this as a joke. I am in no way, shape or form kidding here. That means you really should take the time to respond. Because I am going to the FBI more than likely to file a case complaint against several persons within the scope view of my local law enforcement and social services in the county of San Bernardino in violation of U.S. Code Title 18, Section 241, Conspiracy Against Rights, and U.S. Code Title 18, Section 242, Color of Law, and part of the problem that could be taken away from their ability to use it. You are enabling this condition of conspiracy by the feature of blocking being too simple coded to act against an innocent person making no violation of terms of services or offense of community culture. The blocking feature is used inappropriately to not be a control of so-called spam. I would gather that when block or unfriend is used on Facebook, it is actually a majority that use it to be conflict avoidant on matters where the truth is being subverted, or a situation is being placed to be conflict avoidance and future conversation is shunted into silence. No, humans don't have the ability to have an offense of any kind, to which then the whomever is affected by that offense cannot stand up, speak his mind, and perhaps persuade a resolution and means to fucking shine. https://lawshelf.com/short-videos-content-view/tor-law-the-rules-of-public-nuisance/. Public nuisance, against Facebook, harming society. I guarantee my arguments will be solid and logically taken into view. You have to fix this this insane paradigm. If you do not yet have the understanding of how perhaps we should talk for your fucking clue. There must be an underhanded reason it has not been done yet. As was mentioned above, let us apply an entire fresh perspective layer of involvements happening across our society. The term is hashtag gangstalking. This entire category is a bewildering wonder. Finally, as of April 6, 2020, we have a National Institutes of Health research finding, again on mental health issues. Again, there must be an underhanded reason that gangstalking has not been put seriously into a perspective to control in our society. It has not been done yet. Why oh why? Because as it is now, blocking open and enabled coupled with gangstalking what a potent power of two dual cyber weaponry to hold down that scum of our earth and they don't even have a fucking clue how bad, really bad, it is happening million oblivions, billion oblivions, trillion oblivions. Oh my. Too many and all go bye-bye. They're without civil society address, in law enforcement and in mental health condones, enables, and support these processes and those who are in the need of them of backward acting, to immediately reach for the feature just a code routine in your overall platform, as innocent the code is na. http://awesomecromobonplayroom/technorealism/. http://memex.org/meme4-02.html. technorealism. David S. Benaham, New York City, March 11, 1998. This paper is written way before the problem of hashtag gangstalking. In this heady age of rapid technological change, we all struggle to maintain our bearings. The developments that unfold each day in communications and computing can be thrilling and disorienting. One understandable reaction is to wonder, are these changes good or bad? Should we welcome or fear them? The answer is both. Technology is making life more convenient and enjoyable, and many of us healthier, wealthier, and wiser. But it is also affecting work, family, and the economy in unpredictable ways, introducing new forms of tension and distraction, and posing new threats to the cohesion of our physical communities. Despite the complicated and often contradictory implications of technology, the conventional wisdom is woefully simplistic. Pundits, politicians, and self-appointed visionaries do us a disservice when they try to reduce these complexities to breathless tales of either high-tech doom or cyber-elation. Such polarized thinking leads to dashed hopes and unnecessary anxiety, and prevents us from understanding our own culture. Over the past few years, even as the debate over technology has been dominated by the louder voices at the extremes, a new, more balanced consensus has quietly taken shape. This document seeks to articulate some of the shared beliefs behind that consensus, which we have come to call technorealism. Technorealism demands that we think critically about the role that tools and interfaces play in human evolution and everyday life. Integral to this perspective is our understanding that the current tide of technological transformation, while important and powerful, is actually a continuation of waves of change that have taken place throughout history. Looking, for example, at the history of the automobile, television, or the telephone not just the devices but the institutions they became we see profound benefits as well as substantial costs. Similarly, we anticipate mixed blessings from today's emerging technologies, and expect to forever be on guard for unexpected consequences which must be addressed by thoughtful design and appropriate use. As technorealists, we seek to expand the fertile middle ground between techno-utopianism and neo-Luddism. We are technology critics, in the same way, and for the same reasons, that others are food critics, art critics, or literary critics. We can be passionately optimistic about some technologies, skeptical and disdainful of others. Still, our goal is neither to champion nor dismiss technology, but rather to understand it and apply it in a manner more consistent with basic human values. Below are some evolving basic principles that help explain technorealism. Principles of technorealism. 1. Technologies are not neutral. A great misconception of our time is the idea that technologies are completely free of bias that because they are inanimate artifacts, they don't promote certain kinds of behaviors over others. In truth, technologies come loaded with both intended and unintended social, political, and economic leanings. Every tool provides its users with a particular manner of seeing the world and specific ways of interacting with others. It is important for each of us to consider the biases of various technologies and to seek out those that reflect our values and aspirations. 2. The internet is revolutionary, but not utopian. The net is an extraordinary communications tool that provides a range of new opportunities for people, communities, businesses, and government. Yet as cyberspace becomes more populated, it increasingly resembles society at large, in all its complexity. For every empowering or enlightening aspect of the wired life, there will also be dimensions that are malicious, perverse, or rather ordinary. 3. Government has an important role to play on the electronic frontier. Contrary to some claims, cyberspace is not formally a place or jurisdiction separate from Earth. While governments should respect the rules and customs that have arisen in cyberspace, and should not stifle this new world with inefficient regulation or censorship, it is foolish to say that the public has no sovereignty over what an errant citizen or fraudulent corporation does online. As the representative of the people and the guardian of democratic values, the state has the right and responsibility to help integrate cyberspace and conventional society. Technology standards and privacy issues, for example, are too important to be entrusted to the marketplace alone. Competing software firms have little interest in preserving the open standards that are essential to a fully functioning interactive network. Markets encourage innovation, but they do not necessarily ensure the public interest. 4. Information is not knowledge. All around us, information is moving faster and becoming cheaper to acquire, and the benefits are manifest. That said, the proliferation of data is also a serious challenge, requiring new measures of human discipline and skepticism. We must not confuse the thrill of acquiring or distributing information quickly with the more daunting task of converting it into knowledge and wisdom. Regardless of how advanced our computers become, we should never use them as a substitute for our own basic cognitive skills of awareness, perception, reasoning, and judgment. 5. Wiring the schools will not save them. The problems with America's public schools disparate funding, social promotion, bloated class size, crumbling infrastructure, lack of standards have almost nothing to do with technology. Consequently, no amount of technology will lead to the educational revolution prophesied by President Clinton and others. The art of teaching cannot be replicated by computers, the net, or by distance learning. These tools can, of course, augment an already high-quality educational experience. But to rely on them as any sort of panacea would be a costly mistake. 6. Information wants to be protected. It's true that cyberspace and other recent developments are challenging our copyright laws and frameworks for protecting intellectual property. The answer, though, is not to scrap existing statutes and principles. Instead, we must update old laws and interpretations so that information receives roughly the same protection it did in the context of old media. The goal is the same, to give authors sufficient control over their work so that they have an incentive to create, while maintaining the right of the public to make fair use of that information. In neither context does information want to be free. Rather, it needs to be protected. 7. The public owns the airwaves, the public should benefit from their use. The recent digital spectrum giveaway to broadcasters underscores the corrupt and inefficient misuse of public resources in the arena of technology. The citizenry should benefit and profit from the use of public frequencies, and should retain a portion of the spectrum for educational, cultural, and public access uses. We should demand more for private use of public property. 8. Understanding technology should be an essential component of global citizenship. In a world driven by the flow of information, the interfaces ... and the underlying code ... that make information visible are becoming enormously powerful social forces. Understanding their strengths and limitations, and even participating in the creation of better tools, should be an important part of being an involved citizen. These tools affect our lives as much as laws do, and we should subject them to a similar democratic scrutiny. The tools, where did those who held this document grant go? I tell you ... this is the point of reference in this document that has been intentionally abandoned ... ideals too high mighty whose shit does not stink for them for the elitist corrupted class that can't get their head out of their asses. It is foolish to say that the public has no sovereignty over what an errant citizen or fraudulent corporation does online. As the representative of the people and the guardian of democratic values, the state has the right and responsibility to help integrate cyberspace and conventional society. The state abandoned this project ... we all just accept the conditions of technology into our daily world without questioning its cause to effect on our mental function and capacity. We are not doing it very well ... this fucked up human way ... now are we. This right here ... is why we have a conspiracy in all of this our civil society ... don't think it do ... I know the truth. Hashtag stop gangstalking, hashtag conspiracy exposed terminatesisap. q-truthfinder-sep2020-hash-stopgangstalking.png. That code routine can be altered or at least taken to clay to mold a different varied endpoint result ... don't tell me that is such a hard fucking thing for your brains to not have already done thought about. So where is the conflict of interest here? Who and what do you hold the blocking mode to priorities the users on this site to wall out those who approach others who need to rectify the truth to its hashtag reckoning, current tag for the social unrest protest happening ... yep ... they are directly related to each other, and don't you claim otherwise. Facebook ... steer ... away ... from ... gangstalking ... tatics.png ... public nuisance. While the tort of private nuisance provides a remedy for interferences with the use and enjoyment of real estate, the tort of public nuisance allows recovery for activities that hurt a neighborhood or society. To be liable for public nuisance, the defendant must have interfered with public property, or with a right common to the public. Examples of public nuisance include pollution of navigable waterways, interfering with the use of public parks, and the creation of public health hazards. Like private nuisance, public nuisance can be the result of negligence or intentional activity. Courts will also scrutinize factors like the kind of neighborhood, the nature of the harm, and the proximity to those who are injured. However, a major difference from private nuisance concerns who may sue to recover damages. Since the impact of the nuisance is felt by the public, the law limits the right to sue to 1. Public authorities who are responsible for protecting the rights of the public. These include state and federal agencies such as parks departments or environmental protection agencies, and 2. Those individuals who suffer a particularized harm from the nuisance. This means a harm different in kind than that suffered by the public at large. 2. Public health hazard ... Do I need to cite some of these critical informational tool references? https://u.humanetech.com/what-wedish-do-hashtag-problem-problem. Tech platforms make billions of dollars keeping us clicking, scrolling, and sharing. Just like a tree is worth more as lumber and a whale is worth more dead than alive, in the attention extraction economy a human is worth more when we are depressed, outraged, polarized, and addicted. This attention extraction economy is accelerating the mass degradation of our collective capacity to solve global threats, from pandemics to inequality to climate change. If we can't make sense of the world while making ever more consequential choices, a growing ledger of harms will destroy the futures of our children, democracy and truth itself. We need radically reimagined technology infrastructure and business models that actually align with humanity's best interests. https://u.humanetech.com/policymakers. How do we guide tech toward protecting the public interest? What we do. Our policy team provides innovative research, analysis, and ideas for effective tech policies to policymakers, technologists, the media, and the general public. We devise policy recommendations at the sweet spot of supporting vibrant entrepreneurship while serving the public interest. Our work is informed by policy experts, technologists, and thought leaders as we endeavor to positively shape our digital future. https://u.justice.gov/cr/conspiracy-against-rights. Conspiracy Against Rights Summary. Section 241 of Title 18 is the Civil Rights Conspiracy Statute. Section 241 makes it unlawful for two or more persons to agree together to injure, threaten, or intimidate a person in any state, territory or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him/her by the Constitution or the laws of the United States, or because of his/her having exercised the same. Unlike most conspiracy statutes, Section 241 does not require that one of the conspirators commit an overt act prior to the conspiracy becoming a crime. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term or the death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime, and the resulting injury, if any. Title 18, U.S.C., Section 241. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both, and if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. https://u.justice.gov/cr/deprivation-rights-under-color-law. Deprivation of Rights Under Color of Law Summary. Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under color of law include acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority, if the acts are done while the official is purporting to or pretending to act in the performance of his/her official duties. Persons acting under color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prisons guards and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus toward the race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status or national origin of the victim. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term, or the death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime, and the resulting injury, if any. Title 18, U.S.C., Section 242. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year, or both, and if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both, and if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title, or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. Do we understand that's the endgame of this gangstalking is death? And it's painful to put into the conspiracy part of it and be able to identify the conspirators they would be guilty of conspiracy and the punishment for that would be to be sentenced to death. That means these are pretty serious laws that are being broken here and people are just allowing them to be broken. This is serious shit, people. This is serious shit. Perhaps we should wake up and pay attention to this and find some result for what is open wounds that are killing people and nobody is getting prosecuted by the feds under the US code. We must in unified force, demand our social defense from this harm and death happening from the priorities of the FBI. They must acknowledge this condition. We should start taking this to court and to trial and to then what would become the ultimate punishment, the death penalty for people who are involved in gangstalking, that is the actual proof, people who are involved in gangstalking who end up killing people are guilty of this comparison law and therefore the ultimate punishment be sentenced to death. If I were somebody who was involved in gangstalking and not realizing how truly harmful it was and I heard this statement, I immediately stop, of course. And then if it was being prosecuted. Something is extremely wrong, extremely wrought up in some sort of special interest observation among others to allow this to just go on, everything turning a blind eye. Take these people who are involved in this, how can they be allowed to continue? Why aren't they just shot directly in the street for their actions? No due process. Because they don't give us that due process to put us into a punitive system. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. It grew up 2020 great reasons us will unite peace, but it seems there are a lot of people dying before unity and peace. It is time for a extremely serious, extremely paramount discussion to move forward into an assessment and resolution agenda now. Not next seconds, not next minutes, not next hour, not next day, not next week, not next month, not next year or the next year after that or the next decade or the next century. The time is now, 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 no excuses.